He's just practicing swearing his allegiance to the King of England. Tēnā koe, John, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, good, Dan.
Yeah, this is what's required, although there'll be some pushback too from members of Te Pāti Māori, I would suspect, JT. What is the situation here as we line up for the start of the 54th Parliament as far as swearing allegiance to whom?
Well, we'll see that as it plays out tomorrow in all our communities, not just in Parliament. And so the issue we've got is it's a long 3 years, and the beauty about this, what we've got to always see in governments that have an anti-Māori flavour, but this one's the most overt ever. What we've got to see is what our opportunities it provides us to rebuild and reassert our own mana and organisation and administration and capacity and capability on the street. And so we're not going to surrender the turnaround of 35 years of incremental, painful shifts, whether it's treaty related or whether it's Section 7AA, where Māori have a right to look after their own babies rather than funding Pākehā infrastructure that has failed us for the last 80 years. And so there are multiple attacks on us from this government coming in. Repealing some of the legislation before Christmas is just a bit of a bonfire to just say, no, we're in business and we're going to hammer everybody. And the interesting thing about this government is it was brought together by way of a negotiation that centred on anti-Māori sentiment. So once these three signed this coalition deal, they got to a common space, because remember, the three of them were all over the shop, and Seymour had even called Peter's the most untrustworthy politician we've ever had, and that he wouldn't sit around a cabinet table with a clown. So days later, he's saying, you know, Winnie, will you please have a cup of coffee with me? Now, that just goes to show you their lack of integrity and credibility. So what we've got to do is seize on our moment and just say, hey, this is a marvellous opportunity for us to start to practice kotahitanga, rather than the politics of Māori and money. Let's just have Māori and mana. And so rather than going around the back door, as some natives are inclined to do, we have to surface that sort of conduct, because the people on the street that put representatives of Te Pāti Māori there as a majority group that had their mandate and the knowledge of the type of policies being run against them, we really have to come together to bond under that umbrella. And so I think I'm really, really, really chipper about where we're heading in regard to building our movement and who we are. And the more they try and unwind us and push us back down, the more we'll rise. And I think that's a very good thing that we must concentrate on over this government, rather than woe be me, mana up.
Mm-hmm. Tēnā koe, John. We have heard about a series of protests being organised this week to protest the government's anti-Māori policies, and there's been a pānui from Te Runanga o Ngāi Tirangi detailing a National Māori Action Day for tomorrow. What do you know of these situations, John?
Well, instead of hosting a march on Wellington, it's important that we build the mana of our movement in our own communities, and it's important that they learn to respond in their own hood, because they can't all afford to jump on hikois, afford the kai to go there, the travel to go there, the petrol to go there. But what they can do is stand up in their own hoods, whether it's kaitaia or kaikoe or moriwa, or just to use the north as an example, or Whangarei or Dargaville, or Helensville, or down here in Wellsford. We've got an ability to stand up. What Ngāi Tirangi is doing is going to stand up in Tauranga Moana. And I anticipate Ranginui will, and I anticipate Pukenga will, as part of the three major iwi groupings in Tauranga-Mona, and there are others. So we as you build this movement of expressing the fact that we exist, we have capacity and capability, and instead of trying to walk over the top of us, you can talk to us. That's the message. And so we'll just see how tomorrow unfolds. It's been organised in very short time frames. And it coincides with the Commissioning of Parliament and with what Te Pāti Māori will express in that Parliament from here on in, given the fact that they have the Māori mandate. Those three parties that presently are on an anti-Māori campaign have none. I want to make this point very clear. It doesn't matter whether Peters or Seymour have whakapapa Māori. Okay. What matters is the people they answer to do not. The people they answer to do not. So don't use them. It's a bit like this. It's a bit like Pākehā saying, because Luxon's a Pākehā, he talks for all Pākehā. That's not true. What happened to Chris Hipkins? What happened to Mr. Shaw? They're Pākehās. To suggest that all Pākehās think the same and therefore should act the same, and that one Pākehā thinks and acts for all Pākehās, is not true. But what they try to do, the press always tries to do this, is say, oh, no, well, Seymour and Peters are Māori, and therefore Te Pāti Māori and Māori elsewhere don't talk for Māori. That's just untrue. And that's a myth that a lot of people have been brainwashed into believing. So let's set the record right from the get-go.
Fair enough. Yeah, tēnā koe. Yeah. I've heard rumours on the street about some action at Rangiriri. Are you privy?
Oh, look, that's that's an issue for Waikato Tainui and for Hana and others to have a chat with. What I like about it is that we are having a coming together, and it's just a show of who we are at a very short time. If what occurs tomorrow is as good as I think it might be, well, then that just sends a message. Don't walk over the top of us. Talk to us. And because we haven't even started to organise. But, you know, that's the beauty about this government. It will actually engineer one of the greatest coming together in organisational capacities. We can out-organise and out-administrate them. And once we start to believe in that, we then start to rise up and look after our own babies, rather than them taking them off us, giving all the resources to non-Māori, and then blaming us for not having the resource or capacity or capability. So, and that's just Section 7AA repeals. So there's a lot more water to go under the bridge with this government, and we'll just see. We want the right thing for our people, and we're sick and tired of people telling us we're not good enough, we can't be trusted, we're too cunning, conniving, corrupt, and all that stuff. We believe in ourselves, and we proved it in the Pioneer Battalion in the First World War, we proved it in the Second World War, we proved it when our men went to Korea and Vietnam, we've proven it over the pandemic. But every time we start to rise and self-manage on a "you might as can't manage yourselves, I need the white man standing over me," that's just not right.
Tēnā koe, John. Can we wrap up on a rather sad note too? And as a former chair of Māori Rugby League, one of the notable figures in that community of long-standing was Neville Ramsay, known as Rambo to most of us. Of course, he was a fabulous player. He sadly passed away at the age of 60 under dubious circumstances, which we won't need to go into right now. The fact of the matter is that he has died here in Tamaki Makaurau. He's been taken back to his people, I think, in Putaruru. He played for Manurewa, for Doncaster, Bradford, Lions, Halifax. I mean, he was an amazing athlete, Rambo, and sadly lost at just, the tender age of 60.
Yeah, I knew him when he played for Manukau. And he used to be this, he had this outstanding appetite for running. And you just see him out and around Iho Matau running, Mangere, all through there. And so he was as fit as a buck rat. And he was good off both feet in terms of stepping. And he had a turn of speed that was quite beguiling of a number of people. He was always a trick off the field. I won't go into that. But you know, that's personalities and characters like him make the world go round, you know. And 60 is, in 2023 terms, a young age, right, for someone to have passed. But, look, his special character on the field was brought to the field because he had cheek and pluck off it, and he used to bring that onto the field. Right, and I regretted hearing about his passing, but you know, I just he comes from an era when men were made of steel and wood was chips. Things have changed.
Well, we acknowledge his contribution to Māori sport and the way he carried himself in his finest years, and sadly lost at the age of 60. More to come about that. Rambo. Thanks, John. Thanks for sharing some time. It's going to be an interesting week. Look forward to talking with you next time around. Ngā mihi.
Sure.
Tēnā koe. John Tāmira with us, President of Te Pāti Māori.